And I want to talk to you about the gift of tongues and speaking in tongues. I know that's a controversial subject in Christendom. It's one of the most controversial. But I don't have a history of avoiding controversy. I don't have a, you know, I've never run from truth. And I personally believe this is a powerful gift that the Lord has given His church. And I don't think we should run away from it. And I think in a lot of circles, because of the confusion, because of different positions that people embrace, everybody's decided to just leave it alone, just stay away. And I think that's a mistake. So I want to talk about, I want to do a teaching about spiritual language this morning and then give you an opportunity at the end of this service to let God do something in your life and to take you to a new place and a new encounter with God if you've never experienced what it's like to flow in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. It's different for everybody. You know, there's no one set formula. That's one of the mistakes we make. We think because you had a certain experience, sometimes we want everybody else to have that same experience. And it doesn't work that way, right? It's different with everybody. And we need to understand that and appreciate that. Sometimes in services, when we're having worship services, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had a powerful service. I didn't even get to preach. People were just coming to the altars and were broken and people on the floor before the Lord. Sometimes in services like that, when I'm worshiping and you might hear me speak in tongues, and some of you may have wondered, what's he doing? What is that? I don't understand that. Is that some other language he's speaking up there? Who's he talking to? So I want to talk about that, and because I don't want there to be confusion in our church about this subject. I want us to understand it and appreciate it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, what is the conclusion then? Now, he's been talking about tongues and speaking in tongues and the prayer language. He says, so what's my conclusion? He says, sometimes I will pray with the Spirit, and sometimes I will pray with the understanding. Now, I want you to see the difference there. One is praying in the Spirit, and one is praying with the understanding. When I pray with the understanding, I obviously understand what I'm saying. Does that make sense? When I'm praying in the Spirit, though, we don't always understand that communication that's taking place because it's the Holy Spirit praying through us. So Paul says sometimes you'll pray this way, and sometimes you'll pray in the Spirit, sometimes you'll pray with the understanding. Sometimes I'll sing with the Spirit, and sometimes I'll sing with the understanding. So let's talk about that praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. Let's talk about that spiritual language. Father, we love you so much, and there is so much about you we don't understand. But Father, we're hungry to know more. God, our hearts are crying out for the release of your Spirit in this age. We're living in a time when the love of many is growing cold. People have become so indifferent to the things of God. But Lord, I genuinely believe because we're not offering the fullness of your glory. And once people have tasted you and tasted what's real, that there'll be a hunger for it. I ask you, Lord, to instruct our hearts today. You are our teacher. Lord, I'm just a vessel through which you flow and you speak and you operate. That's all. Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to fill this room up this morning. I want your glory to come in this place, and I want you to speak to our hearts and instruct us, Lord, about the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this whole thing of tongues, and you know, I just wish all the brothers and sisters in the Lord could come together and be in unity. And you know, one of the things that I really wish people would do, I know there's things that divide us. I get that. And I know we hold different positions on different things. But you know, there's a lot more that unites us than divides us. And I wish we could learn to focus more on the things that unite us rather than focusing on the little things that divide us sometimes. And I know this is one of the subjects that divides. I get that. This is one of the things that separates. And, you know, sometimes when people find out you're a tongue talker, or they find out you speak in tongues, man, I mean, it's an automatic, walls go up, and it's a divide, and it's a separation. That's kind of sad. Because I've got Christian friends, and they don't believe like I believe about this, but we're brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we don't let it divide us, right? Because they know, you know, and I know, they know I am, and I know they're not, right? But it doesn't make me better than them. You know what I mean? It doesn't change anything. We ought to be focused on the things that unite us, and that's our love of the Lord, and that we can hold different positions. And so let's always remember that when we enter into this subject. Let's not let this be something that divides, right? Because we may have in all the different denominations, different groups, you just got a lot of different beliefs and viewpoints, and just try to go beyond that. But I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to our church and what we believe. And we believe that tongues are a gift from the Holy Spirit that God has given us as an enabler to strengthen us in our walk with the Lord. And that's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit is all about. He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there, and you will be endued with power. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, enables us to do the work of the ministry, enables us to do the work of God. It's not, he didn't give us the Holy Spirit just so we could have hallelujah hoedowns and feel good, shout and holler. That's not what it's about. We might do that in our emotional exuberance and love for the Lord, and that's fine. I'm an emotional person, and emotion is a big part of our relationship with God. And I don't think just because we come to church, we ought to leave our emotions in our car or out in the foyer, right? We don't leave our emotions, we don't lay aside our emotions for anything else, so we can bring it right into our relationship with God. And it's okay to be emotional with God and to worship him. But it's also important to understand in the middle of that, what is sound and what is right and what is proper in relation to the Word of God. So I want to do a little teaching about that. So while we have differences in groups of people about their position on these things, and we honor that, sometimes I'm invited to speak in churches that I know don't believe like I believe. And you know what? When I'm in that church, I honor what they believe. I don't dishonor the house. I don't dishonor the leadership. That would be wrong. Now, if they ask me to talk about it, then that's an opportunity for me to share some things. There are some people who will teach you that tongues have ceased. One of the primary verses they will use is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where they will tell you when that which is perfect, you know, that tongues will cease and prophecies will cease and knowledge will cease until that which is perfect has come. But folks, that which is perfect hasn't come. Amen? And so knowledge hasn't ceased. We've seen an increase of knowledge in the earth in the last, you know, 100 years at an unprecedented rate. So when people say tongues have ceased, all I can say is, well, chapter and verse, you know. You need to show me that in the Bible. And the thing is, you can't. Because nowhere in the Bible does it really say that. Right? Tongues shall cease, prophecy shall cease, knowledge shall cease when that which is perfect has come. Well, that which is perfect hasn't come. That which is perfect could only be Jesus. Couldn't be anything else. He hasn't returned. So these are gifts that will continue operating in the church. So let's lay aside the argument that tongues have ceased, because there's just no scriptural foundation for that, that I have found. The other is that tongues is of the devil. Some of you may have heard that one. And there's still a lot of people that teach that. But the problem with that is, if tongues were of the devil, the guy who wrote half of the New Testament is of the devil. The man who wrote over half of the New Testament says, I speak in tongues more than anybody. Amen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I don't think Paul was of the devil. I don't think Paul had a gift operating in his life that was of the devil. If tongues is of the devil, all of the disciples and the 120 that were in the upper room were operating in a gift that's of the devil. Right? So let's lay that aside. Okay? So we've laid aside tongues shall cease and tongues are of the devil. So what does the Word of God really have to say about it? We know the gift was given on the day of Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, on that day, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Shavuot, the Holy Spirit came and they were baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was released in them and they spoke with other tongues. Now, the Bible says that when they began to speak with tongues, men heard them speaking their languages. They were speaking earthly languages. There's over 6,000 languages in the earth. Anybody could be speaking any one of those languages in here in tongues and you wouldn't know it. Most of them, right? We wouldn't know what they were speaking. We might, because sometimes people, when they speak in tongues, they speak the tongues of men. Paul said, whether I speak the tongues of men or the tongues of angels, there's both. There's that heavenly language and there's the tongues of men. On the day of Pentecost, they spoke the tongues of men. And men heard them speaking and were convicted. Over 3,000 people were added to the church. I've read awesome stories about how God has given a gift of tongues to missionaries and they spoke the native language of where they were. God does that sometimes. It's the same thing. It's the same gift. It's a gift of tongues. It's a gift when God is flowing through you. But sometimes it's the tongues of angels. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. Sometimes it's tongues. Somebody could be speaking one of those 6,000 languages here, and we might think it's the tongues of angels, and it's not. I read the story of they spake with other tongues. There was a man who went to a Pentecostal church to write an article. He was doing a research, and he was Jewish. And he was in the back of the church, and this guy stood up and started speaking in tongues, and he was speaking perfect Hebrew. And the man who was Jewish in the back understood Hebrew and knew what he was saying. And he was saying that Yeshua is the Christ, the Messiah, and that all should come to know him. And this man who was Jewish, who went to that service, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because this guy got up and spoke Hebrew in a service and was uneducated. He didn't know Hebrew, but the phenomena of tongues. So sometimes we may speak the tongues of men. Sometimes we may speak the tongues of angels. Somebody say amen. I just want to know y'all are out there because you're being really, really quiet this morning. So tongues have not ceased. Tongues are not of the devil. In fact, Jesus in Mark chapter 16, I don't know if we can get any more better collaboration than this. These signs shall follow those who believe. How many of you believe? These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons and they shall speak with new tongues. So Jesus prophesied that this was coming, that men would speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels as a gift, as an extraordinary supernatural gift. Jesus prophesied it, spoke about it. He sanctioned it. He ordained it. Amen? He vindicated it. So that's important. And this is something that God does through us. In 2006, at the University of Philadelphia, they did brain scans on people speaking in tongues. And they found out something extraordinary. The frontal lobe of the brain that is extremely active when you're singing and communicating, the frontal lobe of the brain in brain scans will fire. And it's really strong because you're using that frontal lobe. But they studied people speaking in tongues, and the people speaking in tongues would say, it's not me, it's God, it's something else. And they found out their frontal lobe was completely dormant when people were speaking in tongues. That something else was happening. It wasn't something they were just doing, but something was flowing through them that wasn't activating the frontal lobe of their brain. So something's going on here. God is doing something, has offered us an extraordinary gift in the hearts of people. And this is something that's spread across the world. Do you know there's over 600 million, I'm just going to say it this way, there's over 600 million tongue talkers in the world. Amen? There's over 600 million people who say that they speak in tongues and they are Pentecostal denominations or charismatic or, you know, I'm talking about all those denominations added up together around the world makes up about 600 million people. That, by the way, is the second largest Christian group second only to the Catholics. The second largest Christian group in the world are people who flow in the gifts and speak in tongues. That's amazing. So we get the idea sometimes we're some little groups, you know, on the other side of the tracks, and we're the weirdos, and, you know, we're the holy rollers, and we're the kind of the flaky ones. Folks, that's not the case. This is an extraordinary gift that is flowing around the world. And the second largest group of Christians in the world. It's over 600 million people speaking in tongues. So it's a beautiful thing. So why have we turned it into something else? Because listen to me, tongues has become a burden to people. And Christians, a lot of charismatic and Pentecostal groups are responsible for making it a burden. God never meant for this to be a burden. He meant for this to be a good thing. He meant for this to be freedom. He didn't put it on us to burden us, but we burden people with tongues. There are doctrines that say, well, you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Folks, I'm sorry, but the Bible does not teach that. I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. I'm saved by the cross. Nothing else. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So that's it, and that's just wrong. The other thing we often do is, well, you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit because you haven't spoken tongues. And the Bible doesn't teach that either. And I get where people draw that doctrine. I grew up in a church that believed that doctrine. But in addition to the times they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues, there's five or six other examples in the book of Acts where it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and it doesn't say anything about tongues. So let's not just take one or two passages and say, you know, because here's why it becomes a burden. It becomes a burden because we bring people up and we tell them, you got to do this, you got to do that. And then when it doesn't happen, they're crushed. And they walk away disappointed with their I've seen people leave altars with their shoulders slumped because nothing happened and they got the idea that, well, I didn't receive the gift. Folks, that's up to God. Let's just leave that in the hands of God and let's don't burden people with that. And I'll tell you something else that's unseemly. It's unseemly to see people around the altar trying to tell people how to talk in tongues. You know, and it's just an achy. And so I've seen people grab people's tongues and try to move it up and down. That's getting weird. Now that's just not how God works. Amen? Come on. And in our desperation to make something, and I've seen people try to force something out just because everybody's so desperate to get something out of them, and they'll yabba-dabba-doo. And they get something out, and everybody goes, you got it, brother. It's like the guy bumped his leg on the pew and went, oh, my shin, my knee, and the whole church started shouting because it said he's full of the Holy Ghost. Folks, let's put that stuff away. Let's let God be God. Amen? And so this not, just don't burden people with this beautiful gift. And just let God happen the way it's supposed to happen without trying to force something on somebody because that's just not how it works. And and if I'm troubling you with that, you're sitting there going, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you how I see it. And I just think it becomes a burden. Listen, God did not give the Holy Spirit as a proof. He did not give the Holy Spirit to divide us. He did not give us the Holy Spirit to separate us. And he did not give us the gift of tongues for us to have something to argue about. He gave the gift of tongues for power. That's what we need to focus on. He gave it to empower us and not to separate us and divide us. And some of the stuff that we've seen, I tell you, people in here that grew up in Pentecost and grew up in charismatic circles, some of you know what I'm talking about. Raise your hands if you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And it turns away more people than have ever, you know, we just, because, I'm not saying people's hearts are wrong. There was a lot of zeal, just zeal, but there wasn't a lot of wisdom. And I ought to hear a big amen on that. Amen. So God has given us something very wonderful and something extraordinary that he wants us to learn how to operate in and flow in. So in speaking about tongues, he clearly says in 1 Corinthians, he tells us and he teaches this, and this is important to understand. He says, not all will speak with tongues. He says, not all will prophesy. Not all will have a gift of healing. Not all will speak in tongues. He's talking about a gift of tongues. Now, there's a difference between the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation your prayer language or your spiritual language. A gift of tongues is when somebody gives a message in tongues, and the Bible says that should never happen unless it's interpreted. You know why? Because there's going to be confusion. If you ever been in a service where somebody stood up and spoke in tongues and nobody interpreted and everybody's looking around and there's confusion, that's not God. If you're going to give a message in tongues, you better be prepared to interpret it. Because if you have the gift of tongues, if you truly have the gift of tongues, you have the gift of interpretation. They go together. He says the gift of tongues and interpretation. So we should not be just going around giving messages in tongues unless we operate and flow in the gift of interpretation. That's why he said it's better that you prophesy. Prophecy is just speaking the word of God, and it edifies or it builds up in a way that we understand. So a gift of tongues and a message in tongues has its place, but there should be an interpretation so that we don't have confusion. And that's why prophecy or speaking, proclaiming the word of God in a language we understand is preferred. But there's also a prayer language that's not the gift of tongues or spoken gift of tongues, but flows out of me. Now, I don't know that everybody operates in that gift, but Paul clearly says to earnestly seek after it. And he also said, I would that you all spoke with tongues. So it's obviously something that he encourages for the body of Christ and encourages people to flow with. Why? Well, and in closing, I just want to look at these really quick things. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Now, see why this is important for your life. You tell me from God's word. You look at this and tell me whether you think. In your own heart, you answer the question whether this is important for me or not. He says in 1 Corinthians 14, 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Wow. How many of you would like to talk to God? Whew. Well, that prayer language brings you into an access into the throne of God. Now, that doesn't mean when I'm praying in English and people are just praying, I'm not talking to God. That's not what that means. Anytime you are talking to God, you're talking to God. How many of you know that your knowledge is limited? Right? How many of you know you're earthbound? Right? You know what that means? That means when I'm praying with my understanding, and remember what Paul said, I will pray with my understanding, I will pray with the Spirit. When I pray with my understanding, I'm praying with limitations. I'm praying with limited knowledge. I'm praying with limited understanding. I'm praying with limited vocabulary. I'm earthbound. That's good, and you should do it, but just understand that's praying with limits. Does that make sense? But when I pray with the Spirit, I am no longer earthbound. I am no longer praying with limits. I am no longer praying with boundaries. I am no longer praying with limited knowledge. Oh, glory. That ought to just flow through you. It's the Holy Spirit just erupting with full knowledge and understanding. Doing what? Speaking to God. Hallelujah. That ought to make you want to speak in tongues. It just should. Oh, not to be earthbound, but to be released and to speak to God. And you don't know, you know, there's been times when I've been praising the Lord and just praising God. I love you. You're just wonderful. You're magnificent. You're glorious. You're awesome. And I have such, I feel more than I can say. It's a rapturous moment and I can't even express it. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the vocabulary. I don't have the understanding. I just can't. And there's been times when I've been doing that and suddenly tongues would just erupt out of me and I would begin praising the Lord in that other language. And I would, you know, I thought in my mind, God, I don't know what I'm saying, but it must be awesome. Because the Holy Spirit in me knows how awesome God is. He is God. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Not me. I can't fully know it, but he says the Holy Spirit in you can know it. That's why the Bible says we have the mind of Christ, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us. If you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit, right? But God wants us to release it, not keep it compacted down within us. So that's the first thing. When you pray in tongues, when you speak in tongues, you're talking to God without limits. Secondly, he says this. He says, when you speak in tongues, you don't speak to men, to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. He says, so when you're speaking to God, people don't understand. When you're speaking that heavenly language, the tongues of angels, people don't understand what you're saying. It sounds like, what's he saying? But in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. The second thing, the praying in the Spirit, releasing that does is it gives you revelation. It begins, thank you, Lord, for the sound effects. Isn't that cool? Hallelujah. So when you begin to speak, you're speaking mysteries. You're speaking the deep things of God. You ever had those times when you could feel it? You could feel it, but you couldn't express it. You couldn't define it. You couldn't give form to it. You knew it was something glorious and awesome. It was because God is so big. And yet you couldn't. It's that mystery of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit speaking through you can bring insight and revelation. There are times when I read things in the Bible, I'm, God, I don't know what I'm seeing. And I bow my head and I just begin to pray, Lord, to give me understanding and insight in the Word of God. And I find myself speaking in that heavenly language. And I know the Lord is in my spirit, is churning up and revealing mysteries. He says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. When I preach, when we prophesy, when we proclaim the word of God, look at what we're doing. We're edifying or building up people. We are exhorting people, or that word also means to encourage, and we're bringing comfort to people. That's good. But when I speak in a tongue, I edify myself. If I stand up here and just start speaking in tongues, I'm not doing much for you. You know, you might be blessed because you seeing me blessed, right? Boy, Brother Glenn's getting a blessing up there. Look at him rattling off, speaking in tongues. But it doesn't build you up other than just bless you because Holy Spirit. But you know what? It edifies me. It builds me up. Why? Why does it build you up? Because you're releasing something that brings healing, that brings health, that brings power. You're releasing what? The Word of God. Don't have to understand it, but you're releasing the Word of God. Whew. Oh, glory. And when you release the Word of God, it edifies, it builds you up, it strengthens you. And lastly, Romans 8:26 says, sometimes we don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit prays through us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes through us. The other thing that praying in the Holy Spirit does is it extends the dimension of my prayer and praise. It extends the power of intercession to another level that I could never do in my humanity with my limited knowledge. That, in a concise kind of trying not to overly simplify something that's kind of rather not simple. But that is why you should be hungry. And I could do a long weeks of teaching on the gifts and the tongue, but I just wanted to place in you that hunger this morning for that gift flowing and operating in my life. And many of you have experienced it. You've had that gift operate in your life. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what it is to speak a heavenly language, but maybe you don't exercise it as much as you should. And things kind of lay dormant in us for a while. But it's there. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Amen? So it's your gift. And you need to learn to release it more. If my musician could come this morning. To learn to release that gift and that flow of the Holy Spirit. To not just let it lay there. And maybe you're someone here, you're like, you know, Glenn, I've heard about all this, and it's something I've been hungry for, but I've just never gone there. Start praying about it. Open your heart and open your mind to the possibility of going there. And then let God do the rest, right? But open yourself to it. Say, God, I'm open to this. Lord, I want this in my life. I want this in my life. And I guarantee you, if you start praying that prayer, it's going to come. I promise you that. And it might happen here at this altar. It might happen one Sunday in church. It might happen one morning on your way to work. It happens a lot of different ways to different people. But you've got to open your mind and your heart to it. And maybe something I said this morning makes you hungry for it. Makes you desire that fullness of the Holy Spirit. But I don't want to see the enemy robbing us of this gift. I was reading an article the other day about many charismatic Pentecostal churches in America, and they say you hardly ever hear anybody speak in tongues anymore. It's disappearing. What are we ashamed of, folks? Let's not be ashamed of God. Let's not be ashamed of His beautiful gifts. And what He does. I want y'all to stand up. Hallelujah.